6 decades. Some of you realize that the 6th chapter of Matthew is right between the 5th and the 7th. It's really pretty important because that's called the Sermon on the Mount. And that's one sermon. And all my friends say it can't be true. That Jesus didn't mean it when he said, the pure in heart will see God, the meek will inherit the earth. He didn't mean that. But he did. And one of the biggest arguments I ever got into in my little study group was about that particular passage. Why? Impossible to fulfill. Now, you're 100% right. That is impossible for you to do. But you can do it. And that's what the 6th chapter, which is right in the middle, what that's all about. And we're going to take that, and we may not get out of here till midnight. You ask questions, 1 o'clock in the morning. But I don't mind you asking questions or breaking in. I presented this to my study group last Monday. That's this week, and they got mad at me. So I figure you'll like it. It reads this way, starting first. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father who is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, who seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. That's the first one. Secret giving. I always have trouble of writing a check to the church at the end of the year. Here comes this little statement. You gave so many dollars. Well, we fool them. We let her sneak some cash in there so they don't know. And I told the guy one time I supported church camp, and I support a couple other charities, and I'm not going to give it all to you because you'll know how much I give, and that'll make me mad. And he said, well, I understand that. But it has to be between you and God what you give. But it's also between God and you what he rewards you with. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking to find his open reward in the life that we live down here now. That's what this is all about. And the whole Sermon on the Mount's about that. Well, let's read on a little bit. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and at the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy room, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father who is in secret, and the Father who seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, okay, do you ever think about that? Pray in secret. Get rewarded openly. Do you think God can do that? I didn't for a long time, and then I put him to the test. He's done far better than I ever thought he could. And I tell people he can do that. And I like the story that I tell, which is absolutely the truth, that when we moved down to where we're at, I didn't have any income or any hope of income. And boy, you can talk. You pray when you get that way, don't you? And the Lord said, it's going to be all right. I called upon his name. He said, it'll be all right. And I thought, boy, am I hearing a wind blow. And in the mail came a little card with a $10 check in it from one of my aunts who wrote on that card, I don't know why I'm sending you this money, But when I was praying last night, the Lord told me to send it. I said, it's a sign that he's keeping his word. Now, what more do you need? Now, I never got anything from that side of my relationship before in my life, nor have you ever gotten anything since. And this lady was in a nursing home up in Cleveland, Ohio, and she didn't have anything. But she sent $10. Half of that in itself is a minor miracle. Is he going to reward us openly if we pray in secret? Can he do that? But thou, when thou prayest, verse 6, enter into thy room, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father who is in secret, and thy Father who seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the pagans do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. And boy, that's when things got rough in my study group. They said, what can we pray then? Like, I said, what do you mean, what can you pray then? What do you have to pray if your Father knows what's going on inside your heart? If he knows what's going on inside of you, that prayer's already going up through the Spirit that dwells in you. Well, what do we got to pray for then? I don't know what you're talking about. What do you got to pray for? Why do you pray? And they got that funny look on their face. Yeah, why do we pray? I know why I pray. I pray so I can be in relationship with my Heavenly Father in Christ Jesus. And all Christian doing is relationship. It's not what you do out here on the street. We've got that covered. It's not what you do when you send a check someplace. We got that covered. But if you're going to be a person to influence another person, you have to be in relationship with them. So I would think that what's going on is that when God knows what your needs are before you ask, what you're really doing is seeking to move into relationship with him. And I imagine you'll feel foolish the first few times you do it because you won't know what to say. You don't have to say anything. Let him do the talking. That might be a new skill. I remember the trouble I used to get into, and I realized one day, Lord, I'm inhibited. I can't let this happen. So I said, Lord, I got a request. Take away some of my inhibitions. And you know what? He did. It's just like the time that I realized I didn't really love him. And I said, Lord, teach me to love you. And you know what? He did. But it surprised me. I didn't think God could do anything. I thought we were taking care of him, building a fence around him and things like that. But here he is in relationship. And wanting to be in relationship with us. That's what it's all about. Then we go into the Lord's Prayer. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And that's fine. But then he added a little bit more. And if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. And our little meeting got a little exciting. I said, no, you don't have to go up to a person and say, you did me wrong, but I'm going to forgive you. Well, you did me wrong, and I'm going to forgive you. But I can tell you this, if you've got a grievance against somebody and you've honestly forgiven, the next time you meet them, they'll know it. that'll be in your countenance, your face, your manner. It'll come across very, very clearly. And what Jesus is saying, if you trust your Heavenly Father to feed you and to bless you and to take care of you, and it's all dependent on forgiving people that you think have wronged you, forgive them. Let Him take care of you. I heard this guy last night say, be careful, little ear, what you hear. People do tell lies, you know. I've known one or two of them myself. And sometimes what people tell you about somebody who said something about you isn't true. It's an interpretation. As I told the gossip one time, you tell me who told you that. They said, I won't do that. I said, why not? Well, I said, you'll go to him. I said, coach, I will. Why wouldn't I? And I said, finally, I told her, I said, nobody told you that. You made that up yourself. I didn't hear any more gossip. Now we get to 16. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou fastest, anoint your head, wash your face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father who is in secret, and thy Father who seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now what are we getting out of this passage? Your relationship with God is person to person. It's done in secret, and the rewards will come to you as you live your daily life. Does that make any sense? Nelly got in trouble on that one, too. What about praying in church? Go ahead. What about praying in this group? Go ahead. It's not bad. But I said, if you want prayer to be answered in this group, we need to be of one spirit. And not one of you thinking about a new car and somebody thinking about something else. We need to be one in spirit. And they said, sometimes we are. Not all the time. But you know, then they say, well, in church, we all pray. Well, I went to a minister's meeting one time when they raised this question. Is there such a thing as corporate prayer? In other words, can the preacher get up there and write out a prayer confession or have you pray one out of the hymnal and that be a prayer? These ministers, about 100 of them, decided that couldn't possibly be a prayer except maybe for one or two people in there because the rest of them didn't agree. I tell you, and I did this, you know, I'm a bad guy sometimes. I started putting the worst hymns of prayers of confession in a bulletin that I could think of. I'd spend an hour trying to think up a prayer confession that really was bad. They went ahead and prayed it so simply. I said, either they don't know what they were saying, or it didn't make any difference to them. So I gave that up. Then we did a communion service, and I had to do this ritual. Our loving Father, whose property is always to forgive. That sounds good, doesn't it? That leaves a little of the Bible out, because He does take vengeance on those that abuse Him. So would you. And the purpose is not to abuse Him. Let Him be who He is. Be in relationship with Him. Make those things known that are in your heart. If you can't get them out, tell Him to help you pray them. And then He'll reward you openly. Have any of you ever been rewarded openly? Somebody said they had a good day today. Yeah. How many of you ever walked on air? Because you felt so good. Without being on drugs. See, if most of you have experienced a lot of this praying in secret and being rewarded openly, but you didn't go the whole way. You didn't trust that thing to happen. And you'd hold back some. I know I did for a long time. That inhibition was great. And that inhibition, I was raised with inhibitions. I was thinking today how many kind of families there are. There's a family where everybody's in together. And one of my friends in a study group was raised in one of those. And one of my friends was raised in a family that didn't exist. The father was an alcoholic, and the kids had to shift for themselves on the street. And then there was me. There was a family, and there was me. And I was an outsider. And I think many times we get the feeling of being an outsider, and when we come into prayer, we can't be intimate with God because we feel like an outsider. But he says we're not outsiders. We're a part of his family. We belong to him, and we have been reconciled to him, and he wants to give us everything he can. Am I off base here? God, he has to defend me when I'm gone, see, so he'll let me come back. But that's kind of the thing that happened. So that's something that I had when I was younger. This didn't happen overnight. This is not something I learned in a school someplace, unless it was a school of hard knocks. But I learned that unless I'm one-on-one with my Heavenly Father, he can't be one-on-one with me. I'm the one that's holding back. Was I talking to you about that door with no handle on it? No. In the book of Revelation, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And the artist that's painted the picture hasn't got a doorknob on that door. And so this roughly interpreted is that Christ can't get into you because you won't open the door. And that's not the problem. The problem is that everything you've got is inside that door and you won't go out because we're afraid of what's out there. I can be afraid of going to my Father one-on-one. I think it's stupid, but I can still be afraid to do it. But I made up my mind, no matter how stupid that sounds to you people, I'm going to talk about it because it works. And that's all that counts, that it works. Then when I was a little Lutheran boy, the preacher always had this at least once a month. I guess it was his tithing message. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So that if I can love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, body, and strength, then don't I have to put my confidence in him where he is? And can't I then open my heart to him in prayer in my own private room? Now it gets better. "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be healthy, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Therefore the light that is in thee be darkness. How great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else you will hold to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and money." Now, what if you don't have to serve for money and just do your thing down here, do a good job of work, whatever you do, and God adds his blessings to you and he rewards you? Isn't that a lot easier than kowtowing to somebody to get another nickel a week? Can it happen? I don't know. It has for me. It probably won't work for you. Now we get that song John sings, "Consider the lilies. They neither spoil nor what? Reap? No. Toil nor sow, and yet nobody is any prettier than a lily." God takes care of them. And you say, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? How are we going to get by? We're down 31, 32. For all these things do the Gentiles seek. But your Heavenly Father knows they have need of all these things. Seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added unto you. Now that's a promise. How many of you love the Lord enough to claim a promise? Are you in relationship with Him enough to make a difference? What time is it, John? Is it 8:30 yet?
No.
What?
8.
It's 8. It's just 8:30, technically. I want to say to you the preview so you don't have to come. We're going to talk about the true meaning of repentance Sunday morning. Not the popular brand that you hear all the time, but what the Bible teaches about it. And I'm not going to inflict you with guilt. If God does it, that's fine. But I'm not God. And I'm not going to judge you enough to inflict guilt on you. But I am going to tell you what the Bible teaches about repentance. That it's a critical part of this. You can't pray this prayer unless you are repentant. Unless God is your master. That used to upset me. Somebody tell me God's your master. And he said, I'm my own master. And one day I realized what I had done with my life. And if I was my own master, I didn't need any other enemies. Because I had done me in. And things started changing from that time. Then I found there's a lot of other people do me in if they got the chance. I don't know why. Didn't accomplish anything for them. But they like to do it. Anybody have any questions or comments? Remember, I'm not talking about corporate prayer here or church prayer. We're talking about your personal prayer in relationship to your Heavenly Father that you do in secret so He can reward you openly. And when you read Matthew 6 when you get home, it'll still be in there. Anybody want to illuminate me? What would you like to do? You look okay. You have to get smiles on your face. I must not have said anything important. So that's what I tell you. I'm not a preacher. I don't know how to preach anymore. And yet I seem to get people to hear me. Do you people hear me? I haven't seen you looking around much. Coughing and gagging. John, what do you have to say to me? No. You better believe it's coming. The last thing that study group said to me was, how many times have you read the Sermon on the Mount? Oh, I said, 20, 30, 40. And you just figured that out today? I said, it's right. So what chance do we have? And, you know, there's some truth in that. There's an old phrase that I can't think of the name. George Carlin dreamed up for his book. Will Jesus deliver the pork chop? Jesus promises a lot of things, but will He deliver them? Or is He like my dog? When I gave him a crust of bread to take to my wife, she never got it. I think He delivers the pork chop. But if we don't want it, why should we wait for it? So what I urge you to do is to find your little private prayer chamber. Away from the ringing of the telephone, knocking at the door, somebody spying on you where you can go crazy, you know, and just let it happen. And say, Lord, if I'm inhibited, help me with my inhibitions. If I don't love you enough, help me to love you more. And realize what you're saying when you say that. You're saying, I'm not content to be like everybody else. I want to be the way you want me to be, because in the final analysis, whose am I going to be? I finally caught on to something else about a month ago. I have to be expectant about going to see my Lord face to face. Now you say, I'm not in a hurry. Well, I'm kind of getting in a hurry. You know, if it's open, I want to go through that door too. At least I want to know it's open for me. They say, I'm growing slowly. I am growing. Nobody has anything to say? Let's close with a word of prayer here. Our Father, we know that being a Christian is risky. We sometimes wonder how those early Christians held out against the lions and the Roman Empire and all that stuff. But Lord, we kind of know that if they met you in a privacy of prayer, that that was more important reality than anything going on out here in the world. And we certainly would like to experience that reality ourselves. So draw us to you. Help us understand that you're waiting and that you reconciled us to yourself in Christ Jesus, and that all we really got to do is enter into that relationship. Father, bless us and help us. Amen. I turn this back to your preacher. You want me to do the preacher and the bear?
Sunday, maybe.
Yes. Maybe.